Today I'm going to talk a bit about relationship, somewhat related to what P. Kenny shared the past Sunday, which was all about relationships. So let's bow our head and pray. Lord God, thank you for your love and care for us, that you desire us to be whole and want us to be restored in all our relationships. May you speak through me with your word that gives life and cause the soils of our hearts to be good soil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll begin by talking about Hezekiah's tunnel. I'll explain how this is related to relationships. So Hezekiah's tunnel is mentioned in the Bible a few times. And one of the time that's quite clearly about it is if you turn to 2 Kings, chapter 20, verse 20. So 2 Kings, chapter 20, verse 20. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made the pool and the conduit and the brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? The other place I want to read about this tunnel as well is 2 Chronicles 32, verse 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 30. It was Hezekiah who stopped the upper outlets of the waters of Gihon and directed them to the west side of the city of David, and Hezekiah prospered in all that he did. So the scripture described a tunnel that connects the Gihon spring and the pool of Siloam built by King Hezekiah. And in the 2 Chronicles chapter 32, it actually gives you more background. So I'll just summarize the earlier parts about this. So the chapter tells us that King Hezekiah began making preparation for war when he learned that King of Assyria, Sennacherib, was going to attack Jerusalem. One of the most important things in preparing the city for siege was to make sure that there would be plenty of food and water for the city's inhabitants, and ideally none for the attackers. And you know that the main water source for Jerusalem was the Gihon spring, which was outside the city wall. So Hezekiah got the workers to dig a tunnel to bring the water inside the city wall. So that's the background to it. The tunnel is actually dug beneath the city of David in Jerusalem. Then around 8 BC was the time of Hezekiah. It's a pretty deep underground tunnel, and the length is over 530 meters, and clearly it's not straight, so there was narrow twists and turns, as well as very low ceiling, and water could reach a few feet high as well, or a couple of feet high. And one of the things you experience if you go there in Israel, you will be moving in total darkness as well. So when I read about it, there's actually nowhere else in the world you could find this kind of tunnel to visit safely. So it's quite a special place. For me, I visited this tunnel twice. The first time was about 5 years ago. And it was my highlight of Israel trip. You might be surprised. You could think about Israel, like people like the Sea of Galilee, people might have visited like Nazareth, Bethlehem, and like Station of the Cross, and all these different places about Jesus' life. But for me, the first time I visited this dark tunnel in the deep, in the wet, was my highlight. I'll explain that a bit as well. And the second time was this year with SP staff back in March. It's quite different. It's also quite special. I'll relate that about the relationship later on. But just give you a heads up. Basically, I saw a lot of symbolism and parallel with our life here on Earth as I walk through this dark tunnel. The first time I was there, I heard about this tunnel. I was totally unprepared and not quite know what would happen. I knew it would be dark. It's wet inside. It's narrow. And it could maybe take 35 to 50 minutes to walk through it. And as being unprepared, I didn't have any flashlight. So literally just walking in darkness. And at the time, I was pretty much traveled by myself, even though I was in a tour group, but I didn't know anyone there. And I also had the wrong kind of footwear. So people might actually wear Tevas or slippers that actually have grip so we could walk on the slippery tunnels. But I was in shoes, so I actually need to take my shoes off and walk barefoot. As you walk in this dark tunnel, or for me, I knew it was total darkness in front of me, so I walked quite slowly. And also, the height of the tunnel varies, so sometimes it could be as low as like almost like my waist or my chest, and sometimes it's just kind of touch my head. And as you walk there, the wall could be quite narrow, just enough for to fit one person, right? So it could turn and twist a little bit. So quite often, I bump my shoulders into the wall as well. So as I walk quite slowly, As I walk quite slowly, I have this imagery of this is a bit like this world here. When I started the journey in this world, I don't quite know what to do. I begin with small steps, and as I take small steps, I find myself like on slippery ground. I could fall, and also I bump my head on the wall, and also as I walk, I slip, and then also got some cuts on my feet as well. It highlighted to me that when I wasn't a Christian, I was walking in darkness, and then along the path, I'm trying to be careful, not make mistakes, but I did, and then I got hurt. And it go on like this for some time, because remember, if you walk fast, it could be like half an hour, 35 minutes. But if you walk slow, because literally pitch black, right, it would be quite kind of scary, because it's also very claustrophobic kind of atmosphere. So it was quite unpleasant for some time. I don't know if for most people before they become Christians, the life is kind of walking in feeling it's not easy, feeling you might be in darkness. But then as I walk further along, I hear some people in front of me singing Christian songs. Oh, this is in the tunnel I'm talking about. And they are singing happy songs, joyful songs, worship songs. And it gave me peace. Because I hear people in front of me. So I know, like, if I need help, I could probably shout. Secondly, like, the songs, the words, like, sing praises to God. as you can imagine here being a church, is actually give us peace and shalom. So it reminded me that, when we meet Christians in normal life, when we come into contact with a godly community, or when people come to church, often, well, for my journey, I find that, people here are a bit different. Quite peaceful, even when there's storms in life, they could sing praises and worship to God, even though they bump their heads and hurt themselves, they can still walk this journey, not in fear, because they've got with them. So that gift gave me some encouragements about how walking this tunnel was symbolic. And also, at the end of the tunnel, you know that at the end of darkness, there will be light. So, yeah, it was quite special to me that after this, felt like a long journey, bumping my head, getting cuts, slip and fell. And, you know, actually, as you walk along, one of the things that was quite fearful is, for me at the time, is as we walk along, there was water. Sometimes the water, because it's a water tunnel, sometimes the water is not so high, could be just like your ankle. But as you walk along, sometimes the water is higher than your knee. And actually, I was wearing shorts, so all my pants was wet. So it actually got as high as like almost my waist. And then at the time, I was thinking, how deep this is. Place along the water, could there be like sometimes some flash flood or something that could get the water so high that I can't even breathe when I walk along the tunnel? So in life, actually, I think we also feel that at times we are getting ourselves into deeper and deeper water. We don't know how deep it gets. But there's either you keep going forward or you turn back, and often many things we cannot turn back, so we just have to keep moving. So, yeah, that's also quite symbolic for me too, as I walk down that tunnel. But when I got out, I saw these bright lights. I also see Christians singing and praising and just have this celebration time of, yes, I reached the end of this dark tunnel. Also, for me at the time, it symbolized, despite this journey of darkness, at the end, as Christians, we get to be in the light with God, celebrating this journey that we walk through, and we could be with the light at the end. So I guess you can imagine, like, a lot of this is in my head and what I saw. And it was quite special for me. And then the second time I went this year, it was with the SP staff. And of course, with the SP staff, I knew the people whom I was with. And just the way it turned out that the couple of people who was right in front of me was Pihan Su and Janella. And I don't know how well you know them, but they crack jokes all this time and they like singing. So literally, from right at the beginning, there were praise and worship, there were laughters. And throughout the whole 500-odd meters, this time, I did not feel like walking alone in darkness. But I was laughing. I was, pretty peaceful and happy. So the second journey reminds me that when you have a life as a Christian in a community, even when you literally walk in darkness, and again, you also bump into the rocks, but I think Hansu bought a phone so we could see some light. It also showed me that, as Christians, we do have light in our hands, and the light is the word, is a lamp to our feet, the light for our path. So the word of God really helps and guides us in this journey of faith, of walking through darkness. And because the journey was with brother and sister, the atmosphere, the experience, my heart of walking this darkness is not the same. So, the contrast of the first and second time walking through this, it was quite different. And both times were very special. So, I'll ask the worship leader to come and start to play some music. So my words to you today is, do you want to walk in darkness by yourself? I mean, God is so good, right? He is this light at the end of the tunnel waiting for us. And God is so good that He has blessed you with brothers and sisters around you, so that even when you walk in darkness, you won't feel alone. And He loves you so much that He has given you this word of God, the lamp to our feet, so that you can navigate through the darkness, and that so that it won't be so dark. Do you have these people in your life? If you do not have, will you ask God to give it to you? Particularly those that you desire or you feel the needs of deeper, intimate relationship with. Or a mentor that has walked the journey before you, that who would help and guide you down this journey. Yes, take a moment to pray and ask God, who are these people He wants to strengthen you in your Christian walk, who He wants to bless you with stronger relationship with, so that your walk with God won't be alone, won't, even if it's filled with ups and downs and deep water, you will have peace, you can have joy, and you can sing praises to Him all along.
Christ, my Savior.
Yes, thank you, Jesus, for loving us so much and being with us and want to be involved in all parts of our life, shining light into all areas. Lord God, we know that you want to bless us, you want to heal us. Help us to abide in you, seek you, and simply just rightly respond to the love that you've given us so that you deserve our best, and that's our response to you. Just simply loving you back and loving the people you've given in our lives, spending time with them, getting to know them and making ourselves known. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters who are suffering from cancers. Let's pick one or two. Just keep praying for them for a moment for them. Pray for God to heal them completely. That their cancer is just a name, like any other name. You need to submit to Jesus. Let's also contend for those not only suffering but who yet to know Jesus, that they only see darkness at the moment, but there is this light that they need and they don't know it yet. So pray for the salvation, pray for good soil, soft soil to receive God's word. Let's also pray for our community suffering from other infirmities. Let's pray for those who are looking for a job. Pray for God's guidance and that in the time of waiting and seeking that God continue to provide for all that they need. Let's pray for our mission focus on China. Pray for our church plant in Beijing and also our new church plant, Piriki, in Shanghai. Pray for the Chong family, Matt and his parents, and all churches in China. Let's also pray for our board for members. Yes, for them to hear God, for them to continue to put the vision of the church in operation, for their policy makings, ideas, but most importantly, cover them and their loved ones, that they were able to abide in Jesus. Let's pray for the young adults, the Young Men's and Men's Accountability Group that's started in the summer. Pray for it to continue to move forward. And pray for ideas for P. Kenny's Young Adults Group to just continue to build up the adult group. Please lift up men's retreat in less than a month away. Pray for the speaker, Pastor Teddy. Pray for all the men's scheduled to be good so that they can make it, that they will just have like a ready heart to hear God and to be the man of God that God made us to be, that we will be a good, loving man to their wife, supporting the wife also in building up the children too. Let's also pray for the women's retreat. It is full and the waiting list is on, but we managed to get some more rooms. So just pray for all those God have chosen to go, to be able to go, and that they will receive His word, His blessing, and be fully recharged to continue to be this woman of God that God called them to be. Let's continue to pray for SP 2.0, the building fund, the resources for that, as well as God to continue to bless His chosen benefactor for the church, so that the timing of receiving this building would be His timing, and also for people in the church to also catch the same vision for the vision fund that we have. Please lift up the house church gathering tonight for Blue Pool, Causeway Bay, East Ender, Lidl, Lion Rock, New Conduit, Robin Hood, and TST. Pray for this intimate relationship God wants us to have on earth now, as well as a deeper intimacy with Him, that there will be openness and vulnerability to share and pour into each other's life tonight at House Church. Lord God, we thank You so much for all that You are to us and for Your desire to be with us. Help us to acknowledge You in all that we do today, and that we seek You. We want to involve You in every aspect of our life. Yes, Lord, every single aspect of our life that we invite You in. We won't compartmentalize anything, that You are in everything. Yes, Lord God, we thank You today. Thank You for this time of seeking You, to hear You, to be encouraged by You, to pray with You, and yes, continue to spend time in Your personal prayer, and see you tomorrow.